two.
Phone number.
Okay. Well, welcome to Rashawn Messianic Bible Club. I was just seeing if you was awake, Pastor Ben. All right. It's Wednesday night Bible study. And I am going to pray myself in. And then we're going to get started on this very important Bible study. And I'm hoping that everybody is listening to this Bible study because we have people who are in trouble spiritually, and they don't know they're in trouble spiritually, but they're in trouble spiritually because of attitudes and judgments and attitudes in how we treat people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Let me pray in, and then the Lord will really lead me and guide me through this whole thing. And for safety measures, not that any one of you would call me right in the middle of a message, but I have my phone off now. Praise God. So let's pray in. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour that we're living in. We thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you that you're showing more and more clarity. We thank you, Father God, that all things work for the good of those who love you, Father God. So for whatever reason, we're not on Facebook right now.
We're on Facebook.
I mean, YouTube, it's all in your hands. And we know we'll be back. But it is all in your hands. And I thank you, Father God, for your word. And I thank you for the way all of this is working out and how you called me to do this, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you most of all for the soon coming rapture and for the joy, Father God, of standing there with my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So here we go. Tonight's message is called, It's Time to Go, So Examine Yourself, okay? Now, I'm not saying examine yourself like, are you a perfect Christian or not? Because perfection in Christianity has never been one of God's goals. Like, when people become Christians, then they'll be perfect. Then there'll be no such thing as sanctification. There'll be no such thing as growing in Christ. There'll be no such thing as work out your salvation with fear and trembling. None of that would exist. None of those scriptures would exist if you could become a Christian and become perfect all overnight. So God put those scriptures in there to let us know that once you come into Christ, it's going to be a battle, and you need to fight the good fight of faith and put on your armor and telling us what to do if we see a brother or sister who's falling away from the truth, how to bring them back. And all of these things are telling us that once you come to Christ, it's going to be a battle to stay in Christ because you're gaining eternal life. You're gaining life, and a lot of people don't understand that. This is a great gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ to give us eternal life.
Yes.
I mean, and not just eternal life in a body that's going to be all wrinkled up and worn out, but you're going to get eternal life in a brand new body.
Yes.
And this is a gift from God.
Yes.
Satan knows what heaven looks like. He does not want you to have it. He's throwing out every pitch in every different direction, making sure that you do not make it to the kingdom of God. I don't know how I can discourage you, but I will use everything, he says, right? To discourage you and to get you out of your Bible and to saying that, okay, I don't follow that anymore. I don't follow Jesus, the author of life anymore. I found something else. to waste my time. You understand? So, the title of the message is Time to Go. This is 2022, and everything is situated around 22. Wheat harvest just happens to be 22. Okay, and tribulation is in the Bible 22 times. 5, 7, 8, 2, it's 22. Blah, 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 and keep it going. And Book of Revelation is the 22nd book. It has 22 chapters. And so everything that's talking about the church leaving and the completion of the matter is 22. And it is so focused on this that I have to warn you, like, make sure that you are ready and prepared for this time, okay? So we're going to go through some scriptures. And the first scripture that the Lord gave me for this evening is Luke chapter 18, verse 10. So let's go to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be in verse 10, if you're following me. Okay. So in Luke chapter 18, this is a story about two men, and they go up to the temple to pray. And this is what one of our members kind of gave me. God, once he talked to me, the Lord said, that's a big problem. And I said, what's a big problem, Lord? He said, amongst all the believers that are waiting on the rapture, that's a big problem. And what's the big problem? Watch this. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable, okay? This is Luke chapter 18, verse 9. We started verse 9. And it says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, okay? The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. He says, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even lift up to his eyes up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this is, God was like, this is a big problem. Like, what's the problem? The problem is, once you become a good Christian, now you begin to believe that you're better than other people. You believe somewhere in that brain up there that those horrible people that just can't stop sinning, they are doomed for tribulation in hell. But I just want to thank you, God, that I stopped partying, I don't drink anymore, and I go to church, and I'm so good, and Lord, and I'm thankful that I'm not like these other people. They can't even go anywhere without using profanity. They're just horrible people. But thank you that I am saved, sanctified, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you do your little shuffle dance. And it's like you become this weirdo, right?
Yep.
Because you completely forgot where you came from.
Yep.
You forgot that you used to be the cursing profanity person. You used to be, give me another drink. You used to be, that used to be you.
Yep.
But since you become saved And now your righteousness has been given to you from the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Don't you know that if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you don't have any desire to live righteous? Do you know that? You have no desire. Your desire to conform to the ways of God is because the Holy Spirit's living inside of you.
That's right.
Okay? So, because there were days that you could curse all day and without Christ, you woke up the next day and didn't say, apologize to nobody, didn't say, forgive me, God. Yeah. You didn't do nothing. You drank, you got drunk, next day you might have threw up, but you didn't go praying and saying, Lord, forgive me. You just said, I can't wait till next weekend, right? Because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. There was no conflict of interest inside of your body. But when the Holy Spirit came in, he gave you conflict and he said, we've got to come into line with the Spirit of God and begin to walk in the Spirit. And so God said, this is a big problem, because if someone gets saved, you immediately start telling them, you know, if you don't stop sinning right away, you're not saved. And if you don't do everything the way you're supposed to right away, you're not saved. But me, oh, I stopped sinning. I'm so good. I'm just wonderful. God says it's a big problem. Okay? Because once you make yourself self-righteous, now you're in sin.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 2. I do my best to tell people the truth. You know, Pastor Ben? Because it's very hard being a Christian in this world.
Yeah.
And with all the great intentions and tears that brought you to the front to pray and say the prayer, you still got to go back home. It'd be great if you could just live here, stay on your knees and cry until Jesus came. But actually, you got to go back home, and you got kids, and you got a husband, you got a lot, you know, a lot's going on, right? You got to go to work. You got people, you know, that you got to deal with. You still got to walk out your Christianity.
Yes.
You've got to continue sanctifying yourself, staying in your word, so that the old person becomes a changed person, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What verse?
Let me see if I need to start at the last verse of the... Okay, let's start in chapter 2 of Romans. It says, you therefore...
Verse 1?
Yes. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge others, you are condemning yourselves. You hear that?
Yep.
Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Or if you do pass judgment and you're not doing the same things, you used to do the same things. But you're passing judgment. This is what passing judgment is. You're not worthy to be saved. That's, you can't be a Christian. You know what I mean? But this is a big problem among Christians.
Terrible.
Because you say, oh, remember her? She got saved. Now she's living with a man. She ain't even married. I told you she didn't really want to be saved. You don't stop and go back and say, oh, you remember her who gave her life to Christ? Well, she's now, Satan got her tied, locked, and she's living with a guy. Let's pray for her that God gets her out of that trap.
Yes.
And let's send her a message and tell her that we love her in Christ. And we're praying that either she gets married or that she comes out of that.
Yes.
And that Jesus still loves her to keep holding on and reading her word.
Yes.
You don't give encouragement. You say, I told you she wasn't no going to be nobody. I told you she didn't really want to be saved. She loved that little old fast life. You don't never say anything positive or even go to war for her in the spirit.
Amen.
And God said, this is a big problem.
Yeah.
Because you think God don't see this. So here you go. It says,
verse 4.
Am I at 4 now? Praise God. That's the It says 2, okay. Now you know that God, he says, now you know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. Okay? So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, yet do the same things, or you have done the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? So you're not encouraging people. You're judging people. Nobody's as good as you since you got it together. And the reason I got it together, because I decided to stop sinning. Mm. The Holy Spirit helped you stop sinning. You understand?
Yes.
And the Word of God cleaned you out. But now you're in this point where you're saying to yourself, you know, oh, it says, so when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads toward repentance? You know, Lauren, who used to go, and they used, God told me to call Lauren and give her a message for me. And I said, Lauren, God told me to call, to get a hold of you and give you a message. And you know, people get, because they know they're not really living for the Lord the way they used to, so they say, well, I don't know what he's gonna say, but let me hear what the Lord told him to tell. The Lord said, tell Lauren, when you are not thinking about me, when you are in the midst of doing something that is not of me, I want you to know I have your hand and I'm never going to let it go. That's what the Lord told me to tell. That I know that you're not doing everything that you, and you know better, but I want you to know that I got your hand and I'm never going to let you go. I love you, right? That's what God told me. His kindness and tolerance and mercy was drawing her back to the Lord.
Yeah.
God knows he knows that she knows the Lord. God knows that she used to preach the gospel. God knows she's, but God was like, you know what? It may look like, now to me, I might look at her page and go, ooh, look at her. She all getting caught back up in the world. I knew she wasn't going to live for God. You know what I mean? And you think as you're saying that, God's not going to judge you.
Right.
So the Lord said, tell her that I am always holding her hand. When she thinks that she's gone too far and she's not, and I've left her, tell her I am always holding her hand and I'm always with her. And so, you know, then the person starts coming back to the Lord and they're growing. And then God is like, see how my kindness, my mercy drew her back, or my kindness and my mercy showed her who Jesus is. You understand? And so we can't be like the Pharisee.
Amen.
We can't be that person. And we can't be this person that judges. Now watch this. Then after I did this, someone said, listen, it says, or do you show contempt? Now the word contempt, look at this. It says, do you show contempt? Do you despise, disdain? What do you despise? It says in verse 4, or do you show contempt? Or you do you show, are you despised and disdain for the riches and the kindness and the tolerance of God? Is that something that just gets on your nerve? Wow. You mad at God because he's patient and kind?
Woo.
And so God said, this is a big problem. And we better wake up before the trumpet blows,
right,
and stop talking about who's not making it,
yeah,
and start praying for who's not,
yes,
making it, and stop talking about who used to be saved, and pray for people, send them a word and saying that Jesus loves you, and I hope you're in your word. I'm praying for you,
yes,
today. Have a blessed day.
Yes.
That we're supposed to love each other as Christ loves the church. You understand?
Yes.
We're supposed to put others before ourselves. We're not supposed to become this self-righteous judges. Oh, we're the church people. We're self-righteous. And then this is so easily set on you. You understand?
Amen.
I gave a message one time, long time ago. And, you know, once you start flying, you start thinking it's you flying. And I'm trying, and the Holy Spirit was telling me, tell them you can't fly. You think you're flying, but you're gliding on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's floating you. You're just riding. You're not flying. You know nobody's special.
Amen.
So you thank God for the Holy Spirit, and that's why you're at the level you're at.
Yes.
And if it's above someone else's level, be kind and patient and loving toward that people, because God is still using his kindness,
yes,
and his patience to draw that person back.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So, oh, someone said this. It says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when the righteous judge will be revealed. Now, when someone sent that back to me, I'm like, he's talking to the pumped up heart. He's talking to the Pharisee. He's not talking about the sinner. He said, because of this, your persistence in this sin, it says you're storing up wrath. Don't do this. You are not righteous in yourself. You have been imputed righteousness from the Holy Spirit. See, I'm a perfect person for being a pastor because I haven't forgot that I was jacked up.
Thank you.
People tell me they was hooked on porn, I'd be like, me too, I was. It's like, really? Yes. It's a horrible disease. And it attracts more demons, and it never satisfies. And if you don't ask God to deliver you from it, it'll be a sore and ruin your whole life.
Yes.
So I want people to know there are many people who came to the altar, cried, accepted Christ, and then they had to go back out to battle. And when they went back out to battle, they didn't go back out to battle with good, kind, loving Christians. They went back out to battle with Christians saying, what happened to you? Why ain't you been going to church? I knew you couldn't live the Christian life. Come on. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, it says this, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You hear that? So, one thing, if you have a grudge against anybody, forgive them. The trumpet is going to blow. And how can you keep floating up anywhere if you haven't been forgiven for your sins? Because I heard someone say this before. I can't stand my mother-in-law. Right after they said, I love Jesus. Really? You love Jesus, but you can't stand your mother-in-law? It's like, that doesn't work out with God, okay? Because whatever your mother-in-law did that you don't like,
uh-huh,
you can forgive her.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you expect forgiveness for all the junk that people say, I can't stand you for, okay? Then if Jesus forgave you, you're going to have to forgive the people that have done wrong to you.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
So I'll read it again. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'm reminded of this parable. Two men owed money, okay? Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled both debts.
Yep.
Now, who do you think is going to be more thankful?
The one that owed the most.
The one who owed the most money, right? Now, that guy who owed the most money wouldn't even forgive the other guy for a little bit of money that was owed to him and had him thrown in jail. So you see the arrogance, like, oh, thank you for forgiving me, but, you know, I ain't gonna forgive other people. God says this is a big problem. Attitude is a big problem. This is what you call spots, blemishes, and wrinkles.
Yeah.
This is what he says, I'm coming for a bride without spot, blemishes, and wrinkles. This is what he's talking about, inner stuff.
Yeah.
Things going on that other people can't see, but God knows and God hears. He hears everything that you think he didn't hear the prayer? I thank you that I am an upright Pharisee, that I do everything right, and that I pay my tithes, and I do this, and I'm not like that guy. And you think God's not hearing that?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying we have to come off this, okay?
Amen.
This is, I put this at the bottom of the page. These are words that I had to hear when I got saved, because I got saved, I was 17. I was like, I got saved, I came out the water, I was speaking in tongues. Man, I got saved. People hearing me like, hey, Sandman got saved. And I'm telling everybody, I'm carrying my Bible to school. And then I'm hanging with the guys, and I end up using profanity. They was cursing at me, and I said something profanity. And so the lady comes out, and she says, oh, Mr. Saved. Now, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to read my Bible, and I got to listen to your filthy mouth. He's like, and didn't you get saved a couple of weeks ago? Well, that was a waste of water. I went, they wasted the water when they baptized me. She didn't come out and say, Sandy, come over here. Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you. Hey, look, I know you're hanging out with these kids and they use profanity, but they're not saved like you. Once you get saved, you got to check how you talk, because God is listening to how you talk. And it says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. And so, young man, listen, you got baptized. You're going to have to work this out and walk this walk out. Don't do what you see other people doing. That would have helped me better than I knew you couldn't live like a Christian. That was a waste of water baptizing you. And to think that God is like, I have plans for Sandy, and you just told him they wasted water baptizing. What's going on here? You know what I mean? My kindness can deal with his growth. My kindness can deal with his growth. You understand? But I can't have you talking to him like that, helping Satan discourage him.
Right.
It's like you're working for Satan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna discourage five Christians that haven't got it right yet today. I'm gonna help Satan out. I'm hoping by the time I finish talking to him, they'll quit being a Christian. So you're helping Satan. I'm gonna be so discouraging. I'm gonna say, girl, I knew you wouldn't be able to stop smoking weed. You just love weed. You just like your dad. That was another thing I heard.
Yeah.
You're going to be just like your dad. I was like, man, my dad is a no good, drug selling, lustful. That's you telling me that? You're telling me, these are Christians telling me this after I got saved.
Christians.
And the other one was like, oh, you're a fake Christian. I was like, I'm not a fake Christian. I was like, I still go to church. Nah. Because I saw you hanging around those kids, and they out there smoking weed. Why you out there with them while they smoking weed? You smoking too? You a fake Christian. They didn't say, come here, man. Don't be around those people that when they smoke, because that stuff draws demons. Look, you can stop smoking weed and really live for God. I heard you got saved. Get in your word, man.
Yeah.
Grow. That wasn't the encouragement I got. That was you fake. I'm like, oh, man. These are Christian people. These are my brothers and sisters who are trying to help encourage me to get to heaven.
Right.
How am I going to make it?
Right.
I got Satan on one side and my Christian brothers on the other. And it shouldn't be. Call somebody and encourage them. Call somebody that you know that you're saying that, you know, I know they're not walking as strong as they should. Let me call them and tell them, God loves you, and I'm praying for you that your walk with Christ is going to get stronger and stronger. You hang in there, brother. Do that, okay? Don't help Satan discourage people.
Man.
James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. And I'm going to go there, okay, because this is important. Now, let me tell you what once saved, always saved is, okay? Once saved, always saved tells Christians this. Once you accept Christ, you can sin as much as you want because you're always going to be saved. They go even deeper. They say, if you repent of that sin, you're trying to save yourself. So therefore, you're sinning by trying to do what Christ already did on the cross. So once you've sinned, you don't have to confess your sins. You've already done that. So you're just confessing, trying to save yourself, but the blood's already been shed for your sin, so you don't have to repent. So this is once saved, always saved. You understand? And once you're saved, you're always saved. So, you know, so you get someone that's cheating on their wife, and you're like, well, you know, he's saved. We got this guy that was a minister that was molesting kids and women all over the world. And Rabbi Zachariah was doing all this stuff all over the world. And someone can say, well, at least he was saved. I said, maybe he wasn't saved. If he's doing all this at these massage therapists and he's raping all these girls and all this stuff, I'm saying maybe he was never saved. Maybe, I mean, once he died, I'm like, I'm not going to say I'll see him in heaven because of all the stuff he was doing. If you persist in sin, even though I'm encouraging you to stop sinning, and you persist in it, I'm not your judge, but now you got to go see the man. And from the word of God, the man says, you die like this, sinning, persisting in sin. All you can expect is fire and come on. So I'm not your judge here. I'll pray for you here. If I know you're doing bad, I'm gonna pray for you. But once you die sinning, that's between you and God.
Yep. Amen.
Now, in chapter 5 of James,
verse 19 and 20,
it says, my brother, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back. Okay, if he wasn't in the truth, he couldn't wander from the truth. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Okay. And someone brings him back, remember this, whosoever turns a sinner from his error of his ways will save him from thanatos, is the word, which means hellfire, death in hell, will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. So if you're in sin, I don't want to gossip about you. If you're in sin, I want to encourage you to turn back and come back to God. I want to tell you that God is patient and kind with you. And don't be persistent in this, because if you die in your sins, you're going to get judged just like a sinner, like a hypocrite. So turn from your sins while there's breath still in you. I'm going to encourage you. You're going to say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm encouraging you to turn back to God.
Amen.
You're saying because I'm living with my girl that I'm a sinner. No, I'm telling you, you're living with your girl. It's not right with God. It's fornication.
Right.
Turn back to God or do the right thing so that you don't die.
Yes.
So I'm not judging you. That's called righteousness coming to you, trying to get you to be in line with God.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So don't discourage people and tell them, you know, and just bask in your holiness. How wonderfully holy I am. Just so much better than other people. I guess God just made me better than other people.
Wow.
Because I get it. I get it. They don't get it. I'm in my word every day. I tithe of everything that I have. And you know, sometimes I sing praise songs in my house. I'm just all that in a bag of chips.
Wow, and a bag of chips. Wow.
And God is listening to you. And then you find out, oh, you hear about Sister Sheena? Oh yeah, I heard about Sheena. I knew she wouldn't be able to do it. She back smoking weed and going to clubs again, girl. I knew she wasn't gonna live for God. Well, have you called her to see how she doing? No, I ain't calling her. She all into that crazy life. Have you called her to pray with her? No, but you talk about her.
Right.
But you haven't had time to talk. But you haven't had time to call her. But you talked about her. So, God is saying, look, you're storing up wrath for yourself, okay? Because you persist in doing this.
Right.
God said, this is a problem.
Amen.
This is a problem. Guy come in here, he cries. He accepts Christ. And nobody encouraged him. You know what I mean? Every day he's hearing how he's not a true Christian. You don't live for God. You don't just back like that. Somebody just walked in. I don't know who it is. Just talking. I don't know if they went in the bathroom or not. Hallelujah. Here we go. So I'm going to read these scriptures. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says this. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, and he proclaimed this about himself. He said, the Lord, compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abiding in love and faithfulness. God is describing his own personality. Okay, here we go again. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sins and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And he punishes the children of sin of their parents for the third to the fourth generation. So God doesn't let sin go by, but he wants you to know he's abounding in love, forgiving sins and rebellion.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 78, 38. Yet he was merciful, and he forgave their iniquities, and he did not destroy them.
Yes.
Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. That's God. But in Psalms 86, verse 15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's God. You hear that? That is God. Go to 1 John chapter 1 John. And we're going to read. Well, I can get to 1 John. Okay. 1 John chapter 5. I mean, I'm talking about the 1 John, the epistle, okay, not the gospel, okay? And it says in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, ye walk and walk in darkness, you lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You hear that?
Yes.
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and the word has no place in our lives.
Amen.
So if you sin, you can do what? You can confess your sins, and he's just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay? This is coming all the way from the Old Testament, okay? Because the people that believed in God, they had a temple. They had a priest. And if they sinned against someone, you know what they had to do? They had to go to the temple and bring an offering and say, I sinned against my neighbor. This is what the law requires for me to be forgiven for this sin. And then the priest would take it, and they would, and then God would forgive them. Why? Because they stayed within the rules of yeah. what they're supposed to do. Okay? If a person sinned and they said, well, I know the temple is there and the high priest is there, but I'm not taking any of my animals there to ask for forgiveness because that's not what I want to do. And then people will know that I sinned if I go to the temple and bring the lamb. And then so he says, I'm not going to do it. So what is he doing? He's operating outside of the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's not following the rules. The scripture is telling you right now what the rule is for born-again Christians. If you do sin, you can confess your sins and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
If you don't have the ability to confess your sins, that means God thinks that you're going to be perfect right after you accept him. Or in the Levitical time, he wouldn't have set up a way for them to be forgiven of sins if he thought that everybody was going to live perfect.
Amen.
But he set up a temple service. Why? Because sin cannot come close to God. So to be able to draw close to God, you have to be cleansed from sin.
Yes.
So someone would say, I've sinned. Let me take this lamb to the thing because I've sinned and I want to be forgiven and ask God for forgiveness. They're standing with, they're doing what the law requires. Now we're not under the law, we're under the faith, but we still have rules.
Yes.
If you sin, confess your sins and he's just and he'll forgive you. So he says all sacrifices are what? On our lips now.
Yes.
Okay? They're not animals, they're all on our lips. You can give God your sacrifice through your lips by asking for forgiveness.
Yes.
Okay? Now you go to chapter 2 and then God continues on this understanding. He says, my dear children, who's he talking to? Christians. I write this to you so that you will not sin. Then what does he say? But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God is saying, I don't want you to sin.
Right.
And that is God. We're in relationship. I don't want you doing bad stuff to me. If we're friends, yeah, I don't want you doing bad stuff to me. But if you do, let's work out something that you could be forgiven.
Yes.
Okay? So God says, if you do sin, you have an advocate in heaven, the high priest, Jesus Christ, as an advocate. And if you confess those sins, he's just to forgive you of those sins. And you can get back to your Christian life. You understand? So forgiveness is available because you are a born-again believing Christian and you are part of the family.
Yes.
So forgiveness and repentance is a gift from God for you to stay in relationship.
Yes.
With himself.
Yes.
What gets you out of relationship? Self-righteousness.
Amen.
So I'm gossiping, but I haven't repented for gossiping. I'm speaking evil over people, but I haven't repented for speaking evil over people. I'm saying all kinds of things that don't line up with the scriptures, because the scripture says what? Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Filthy communication is profanity. But then, I think in Psalms or Proverbs, it says, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth. What's evil communication? To be in disagreement with God.
Yeah.
So evil communication is, I'm saying the opposite. God says, I want to use him as a minister. I say, he'll never be nothing. He drinks too much, and he'll never overcome it. That's evil communication. You're speaking, I'm speaking life, and you're speaking death into him.
Yeah.
So we're unto, and God said, because you persist in doing this, my sister ain't never going to get it right. What? You mean your sister is going to get it right? Let's stop and pray for her and be a go-between between her and these demonic spirits that are trying to take over her life, because we know that God wants to use her.
Yeah.
And she can't stop clubbing, but we're going to make it that God makes a way that she hates clubbing.
Yeah.
Let's pray it over her right now.
Amen.
And let's call her and tell her we love her.
Yes.
So we don't want to be like Jesus. We want to be self-righteous. You believe in the hype, and you're writing the page, and you're believing your own writing. You ain't all that.
Amen.
Without the Holy Spirit, you are not all that.
Amen.
I love people. You know why? I always remember, man. I have no right to judge anybody. I have no right to say they're never going to make it. When I repented, I was sitting in a prison cell. And what God say to me? I love you. 92? Sitting in a prison cell. had no idea I would ever be a pastor. All I know is I just got in a fight with the police and I won. And nobody better mess with me again.
In prison.
And when I get out, I'm going straight to the club again. I'm in prison like, oh, Lord, they talking about 10 years. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. You know, I was waiting for, now I got you. That'll teach you. When I tell you to do something, I didn't hear that. I love you. I got plans for you. I love you. Kindness, patience, slow to anger, still holding my hand, even after all this. I can still feel your hand holding mine, and you're still trying to pull me back to you? What? Come on. So we have to do this, you understand? God is saying it's a problem when you become a Pharisee. It's a problem.
Yeah.
You don't see it, but it's a problem. For God, it's a problem because you're self-righteous, and you have no righteousness inside of you that belongs to you. If God takes his Holy Spirit out of you, you're empty.
Yeah.
My conviction comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Which was given to me.
Yeah.
So why would I act like it wasn't given to me? As if I produced this on my own.
Amen.
Come on, you guys.
Amen.
I'm just going to read Philippians chapter 2 real fast, okay? And I don't know how much time I got, Pastor Ben, but I'm finished. I'm going to finish. I got 15 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Well, we can brief about what we're going to talk about tomorrow. But let's go to Philippians chapter 2, okay? Now, because John says, if you want to be, if you are in Christ, you should live as Christ lived. How did Christ live? Huh? How did Christ live? Did you know that Christ lived in obedience?
Yep.
Did you know that? Matter of fact,
he had to learn obedience.
He learned obedience. And God is giving him credit for obedience. That's why I preach obedience. That's why I preach repent. If you sin, repent. Walk in obedience. You don't have to always have to go and offer a sin offering to God every day. You can get to the point where you're not offering up a sin offering every day. You used to have to do it every day. God's like, yeah, I'm tired. When you're gonna grow up? Then you finally start reading enough word, it's getting in you. Then you're like, you get to a point you don't have to offer a sin offering every day. But you're not righteous. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you that has matured you to get you to this point. And you got to remember, there's some other people out there that they accepted Christ and they're still growing and they're depending on your intercession and prayers.
Yes.
It's a horrible thing to be that way.
Amen.
So here we are in Philippians chapter 2. And it says this, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. For it says your attitude should be the same that of Christ Jesus, who being in the nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to or to grasp, but made himself nothing. This is God in the flesh saying, because I'm in the flesh, forget that I'm God. It's time for me to humble myself and be obedient.
Yeah.
And it says, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, but humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross? Jesus became obedient. He had to learn obedience. He's like, I know what the law says, I have to follow that. I know I can't do that. I know. This is God in the flesh. It's like, I got to be, it's this day. I have to follow. My mother told me to do this. I got to be obedient to my mother. This is God. He's following rules of obedience. But you're a man. I ain't got to do nothing I don't feel like doing. As if you made yourself. This is God. Because of his obedience, listen to this part. Listen to this part. It says here,
verse 9.
Therefore, because of his obedience, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him Hashem, the name that is above every name. You hear that? God, because of his obedience and going to the cross and doing everything God wanted him to do, he said God has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, under the earth, and to every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yes.
Because of his obedience all the way to the cross. See, he wasn't obedient when he got to the cross. He was obedient when his mother said, go do this. Do whatever he tells you. Go do this. Woman, no woman me. Do what I said do. Right? He was following even some of the Hebrew laws of what the... He was very, very strict in making sure that he obeyed the laws. Now, understanding that he was God... Come on, you guys. So, we want to be obedient. We don't want to be once saved, always saved. I don't want nobody telling me I can stop. I can sin as much as I want because I'm under grace. The scripture we read the other day said you'll frustrate the grace of God.
Yeah.
How much do you think you're going to escape punishment? You who frustrate the grace of God? How do you frustrate it? You sin as often as you possibly can. And then now somebody done told you, you can sin as much as you can and you don't even have to repent. And you persist in it. And you're always coming to me. You're always repenting. You went to the club last week and repented. And now you went back to the club. What are you doing?
Right.
God said, don't persist in sin, because if you persist in sin, it ends in hell.
Yeah.
Turn from that, okay? But as a brother or a sister in Christ, I can't become judge. Nobody ever appointed me judge. They appointed me as a brother or a sister in Christ. I am not a judge. God says to love you as God loves you. I'm to love you as a brother or sister in Christ. I can't love you and be discouraging to you because you haven't reached the wonderful heights of Christianity the way I have. That's not love. Let's pray for him. Let's stand in the gap for him. Let's do this for him. Let's see if he needs anything today. Let's do that. You know what I mean? God is just saying, look. When one of the members last week said, you said that sanctification could take weeks or even a year. I said, sanctification could take a lifetime. You might not ever overcome everything that God wants out of you. Because there's some stuff in you that God is always trying to purge out. He's trying to get this out of you. I'm trying to get that out of you. But I can't get it all out at the same time. So I need patience and kindness. I read about a 14-year-old kid when I was in Pasadena who I didn't know him, but my sister's in there. Committed suicide. He wrote a note saying, it just don't seem like I can do anything right, so I just don't want to be here no more. Where did he get the idea that he can't do anything right? That means somebody was talking to him. Somebody saying, you do everything wrong all the time. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing... Nobody said, you're going to get better. You're going to be a great young man. Don't you worry about you making your mistakes now, but you're going to be better. So nobody came to him and said, we love you. We know that you're making mistakes now, but you got to remember you're young and you're still growing and we're your parents and we love you and we want... Because when you get to be older, you're going to be a dynamic young man. Nobody said that to him. 14. At 14, you're deciding that you don't want to live no more? But look at this. You're a Christian 1 year. And you're like, I can't do it no more. I'm walking away from Christ. Why? Because everybody I talked to told me, you still drinking? And I heard you use profanity the other day. I told you you couldn't be a Christian. You're always doing things wrong. You ain't going to never be. And I know you like women, and you just ain't going to be nothing. Christians wasted water when they baptized you. Christians, to the point that you spiritually want to commit suicide, like, I'm just walking away from Christ. You're right. I can't do this. I'm not as good as you. I can't do this. God said, look, you better wake up. The trumpet, it's almost time.
Yeah.
The trumpet is going to blow. If you got people in your heart,
yeah,
that you know they're not living for Christ and they need encouragement, or they need direction to change, or to let them know I'm standing in the gap for you and I'm praying for you and I love you and you can make it. If you're not doing that, keep your mouth off of them.
Thank you.
Because you don't need to help Satan discourage them. Keep your mouth off of them. Let them know that God still loves you. He's slow to anger. I'm so glad God is slow to anger. I got saved when I was 17, Pastor. 17, I was saved. I mean, I was walking to school with my Bible. I was so on fire. I was like, man, I never felt anything like this before in my life. But you know what? Once I got to college, independent, living by myself, ooh, girls want to come over? Oh, my goodness. I gotta stay away from fornication. Oh, now I get through college. Oh, that was hard. Pros. Oh, now you got a few extra $1,000 in your pocket and a brand new car. Now you can, you know, it's like, man, God is like, there's a lot of stuff. And you had no daddy, and you went through child molestation. You know, you got a lot of things you're working out that God remembers you from.
Yeah.
But God remembered me from child molestation from 5. That's, God knows what happened on those days at a young age. God remembers that. And he's in his mind like angels ministering, and he's got things in his mind that I want to do with that young man.
Yeah.
I want to do in that life. Oh, he's going to make a wonderful husband when I finish, you know, purging out this and taking out that. And then you get Christians coming. You ain't going to be nothing. Come on. Can't. We got to encourage one another. Encourage one another, especially as we see the day approaching.
Yeah.
We have to encourage one another.
5 minutes.
Okay? So, tomorrow what we have to talk about is how close we are. We are absolutely, this Bible, God, see, because God is not done. I think Nicole told me a long time ago, she said, God gonna show you more.
I remember that.
Let me tell you guys, God gave us the year of the rapture in Genesis. In Genesis, okay? And so, the rapture and the clues to lead to the rapture are in Genesis, okay? So, and I'm not talking about Genesis 6, I'm talking about Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to show you that tomorrow, because you've got to know how close we are to meeting God. And you've got to check self-righteousness.
Yes.
Because that is a dangerous thing. That is a thing. It can start making you think that you are better than other people, but none of us are better than anybody. God loves all of us. And he's trying to save all of us. And he's trying to use all of us to encourage each other so that we can make it. You understand? So encourage someone today in Christ. And if you ever have in your heart something negative you want to say, stop yourself. See, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm going to turn that around and pray for them and give them something positive. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.